I'm glad to have the opportunity to stand before you today. Glad to be here and once again be able to be in the presence of God with you. I had a message that I thought I was going to give until just about 15 minutes ago. And I feel like I'm supposed to change it and go for healing today. So let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that none of us can heal, that you're the healer. And we know it's very important to you. We know the price that you paid for it. We know that the Father doesn't waste any of suffering, and that you had to suffer the scourging, and there was purpose in it, and there was healing released in it. We don't understand that. We don't understand what happened all at the cross totally. It's beyond our comprehension. But God, we know that there's more there than what many people have appropriated. And we want to receive for the Lamb that was slain all the rewards of all of his suffering. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to speak this morning about healing is in the covenant. Our healing's in the cross because the cross is the basis of the covenant. And the new covenant was all about the Holy Spirit coming. It had as Hebrews says, in the 8th chapter, around verse 6, it talks about this new covenant. And it talks about this covenant. It's a better covenant, the old covenant. And because it has better, and it has better promises because it was based upon a better sacrifice, meaning not goats and lambs and cows, but Jesus. Michael Brown, a Messianic Jewish scholar, New Testament scholar, wrote a book called Israel's Divine Healer, and one of the quotes from it that stood out to me was where he said, in the old covenant, healing was a stream, that when Jesus came in the new covenant, that stream became a flood, a deluge, in comparison to what we had seen in the whole Old Testament just in the first 3 years of Jesus' ministry. What a difference it had made. And that is still for today. Before I read the scriptures I want to look at, I want to tell you about a meeting we were in less than a week ago, or about a week ago, and it's the first time I actually preached this particular message in the way that I'm hoping to be able to this morning. And we had about 500 people there, and there were well over 300 healings before the night was over. Over 200 of them had happened from the platform, and then the other 100 happened when the part of the team that was me, we divided our team up into three teams, gone to three churches that night. But there was it was an amazing night. And I just felt that we should go with that again today, the same message. It would have been easier to preach the other sermon because I preached it more times. But this is the second time for this one. And it's really interesting because the night before we saw that happen, we had been in a bigger church and we had seen 494 conditions healed the night before. And so may we see God honor the name of Jesus, and the merits of Jesus' work at the cross bring glory to the Father. Isaiah 53 is where we're going to look. And we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. And then we're going to look at part of verse 11 and part of verse 12. And one of the things I just really want to point out is there is a real price paid for healing. And when we ask, is healing in the cross, even the questions to me seems to, in the cross, through the cross, is it related to the cross? It seems if we don't get that, we're missing so much of what Jesus did. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to or not, but we are. In the message, I'm actually going to show like a minute and a half of video. And I want to say before I get to the video, and it's going to be about the stripes, the scourging of Jesus. When I was young and in college, or seminary, after college, I graduated at 25. And during my middle year, I felt led to write and study about the Roman crucifixion of the first century. And I spent over at the library 40 hours, and I'd read dissertations written by medical doctors about the effect of crucifixion. It's very difficult for us in the 21st century to even catch a small glimpse of how horrific crucifixion was. Many times, the criminals would live for days on the cross. And they hastened the death of the criminals, we know from because of the Passover that was coming, by breaking their legs, which then caused them to suffocate. But Jesus didn't have any bones broken just to fulfill even the early typology of the Exodus when he took the Lamb of God and they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. And when the death angel passed over and saw the blood, he passed over and the firstborn didn't die. And we understand the connection between the Lord's Supper and Passover. We understand that this is a replacement for us of what Passover had been. As Passover had been the centrific or central most important aspect of Judaism, the cross and the resurrection would be that, and the ascension and the pouring out of the Spirit would be that for the Christians. And we understand and have faith in the power of the blood. For without the shedding of blood, it's impossible to forgive sins, Leviticus says. And we've been taught as Christians and in the Church of America, it's been well taught about the blood and about forgiveness to the point that unlike a few hundred years ago amongst Protestants, there was no assurance of sudden salvation, that there had to be lots of self-examination am I in the elect or not? And there's a lot of a lack of assurance. And as they begin to have more of an understanding in the cross and what Jesus did and in his blood, there came a teaching that the people came into a faith that they could suddenly lay hold of that promise and know and experience the being born again in such a way there was complete assurance. I believe that the Lord wants the church to come to a place that we have as much faith in the body as the blood, as much understanding of what happened in his body as what happened in the shedding of his blood. And in doing so, I think we will see more healings begin to take place. Because even as more teaching came about the shedding of his blood, came a greater ability to believe the promises and enter into the experience, I believe it can be the same for understanding the rest of what happened at the cross. I've not read the passage, I know I haven't, Isaiah 53, because I want to come back to it and kind of climax with that. So I want to move from what we're talking about now, this new covenant and what's in the covenant, And, you know, the new covenant is spoken of in a very similar way that the kingdom. Jesus came to inaugurate the kingdom. He came to inaugurate the new covenant. And he did so by paying for it in his death and his resurrection and ascension, pouring out the Spirit. It actually fulfilled, because that new covenant wasn't grace versus law. It's about the way people would relate with great intimacy to the Spirit of God. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians, in beginning in verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I mean, not verse, and looking at verse 23, there's a longer passage. I want to read it off. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" Now, Matthew tells us more that he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so he says, "Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread of the or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." And that's why some of the earliest revivals, like the Great Kentucky Revival at Cane Ridge and the Campus Lane Revival in Port Glasgow, Scotland, that Whitfield led, those were communion services. And in like 2 or 3 days before communion, and they just, and the Presbyterians, Scottish Presbyterians, had communion like once a year. And 2 or 3 days before this grand communion service, they would examine themselves, make sure they've confessed their sins and are right with God and made things right with other people. And it was this self-examining time in both Scotland and in Kentucky, which was what one person said is America's great Pentecost, that the greatest revival with the greatest crowds, with also the greatest manifestations and phenomena ever happened on American soil. And as a result of it, 1/4 of all Christians in the South had similar experiences and manifestations, and the Bible Belt was actually born out of that revival. So the great revivals have been connected to the self-examination of our lives before taking communion. And when it talks about not taking in an unworthy way, in one sense, none of us are worthy, and it's all by grace. But it does mean that if we're living in rebellion and disobedience, that we shouldn't take communion. When I used to do communion every week at my church, for 16 years, when I was in the vineyard, I would tell the people who are there, this is not automatic grace. It's just not cheap grace. That it's grace, and it's offered freely. None of us deserve it. But we also got to understand that not only is he love, God is love, but the angels and the cherubim, seraphim, the four living creatures, what they cry out about him in heaven is holy, holy, holy. And there's a holy dimension to this love of God. And this coming in an unworthy manner means to be in, I believe, in this rebellious, I don't care, I'm not confessing. And I grieve over the teaching that sometimes is gaining ground, it seems like, in America and around the world, that if you really believe in the grace of God, you don't ask him to forgive you but one time. Because after that, it means you're doubting what he did. I personally believe that just as much as I know that my wife and I are in covenant relationship with each other, that if I do something to hurt her or she does something to hurt me, we're not going to divorce over it. But it will affect our intimacy. And love wants to say, I'm sorry. Love and faith aren't meant to be opposed to each other. I can believe in my wife's love for me, and she's not going to leave me. I'm not going to leave her. But that's not the same as feeling sorry when you realize you did something that would grieve the other one. And to say, I'm sorry. That's part of relationship. And it's important that we understand we can receive grace, but we ought also not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit and ask forgiveness when we have done something that would do that. Because out of the relationship of feeling that we can boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need, as Hebrews says, because of what Jesus did at the cross, we have this great opportunity to have the one who is called to our side, the Parakletos, the word for comforter in John 14 through 16, or advocate in 1 John 2:1, have an advocate, it's the same word. It actually means, sometimes called counselor, comforter, helper. I always wondered why they never translated it in power. Because sometimes we need comfort, he's our comforter. We need counsel, he's our counselor. We need help, he's our helper. But the whole new covenant really is about his power. And lots of times we need power, and he's meant also to be our empower, the one who comes. So the reason why there's so many words there, it literally means the one who comes to stand beside you in your time of need. It depends on what your need is. It's how he relates to you. God spoke to Moses in Moses 15, in Exodus 15, the latter part of verse 26. He says, for I am, this is one of his seven covenant names, for I am the Lord who heals you. That lamb of Passover was a type of Jesus. And by his blood, we would be delivered from captivity to sin and damnation and demons and all that. But it says that in the Psalms that there was not one, it says it different, one feeble person, one weak person, no one stumbled, not one sick person. There's a different ways it's been translated. When about 2 million slaves, that's what they believe, came out of Egyptian captivity, the Hebrew children, this word, this from the Psalms, and there was not one weak person, feeble person, or sick person among them. And you've got slaves, and 2 million, not one sick. I want to declare, if we have eyes to see, that is a great miracle. There's a great miracle, not only of deliverance, but a great miracle of healing in the basis of the old covenant, which is rooted really in Exodus, and that Exodus event is the root of it. There was a provision for healing. How did 2 million people who came out of captivity come out not one weak or sick person? I'll tell you when I think it happened. Because the same God that said, put the blood on the doorpost, he also said, be careful and don't break one bone. Isn't it interesting that not one bone of Jesus was broken? The other men, yes, but not his. Do not break not even one bone. And then he said that you are to eat the flesh of that lamb. And that was his body. And I believe he wanted us to know that in the blood of Jesus, yes, forgiveness of sin. But in the body of Jesus, yes, the healing for our bodies. As it was in the old, so is it to be in the new, but only in a greater measure. So when they ate, there was healing that came. that was looking to one of the blessings of the new covenant. And every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is that we do remember what he paid for our forgiveness. And we also remember what he did for our healing. I believe God is a God of love, and because of that, he does desire to heal. And we've been taught lots of things. I was, as a kid growing up, that wasn't conducive to believing in healing. It was seen to be not normative, not normal, not regular. It could happen. God could heal in response to intercessory prayer, but they would be far and few between. That it was actually an expectation taught that we weren't to see healing on a regular basis. I believe that's a bad teaching. I don't believe it's consistent with the word of the Lord. And I want to talk about why I believe we should expect healing this morning. So when we look, I didn't finish that text. So I'm going to finish it in verse 28. Man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, which was a euphemism, Jewish euphemism, for died. That's interesting. Anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. There are three or four different translations of that. I'll give you a couple, and then one I believe. This is one of them is when we don't recognize each other as the body of Christ. Not recognizing the body means not recognizing the congregation has different gifts. And each one of those gifts, if we don't recognize the totality of the body, we cannot recognize a particular gift. And we don't recognize that gift, then we don't get the benefit of that gift. That's why in so many churches there isn't healing, because they don't recognize that there are still people that God uses to heal today. They don't recognize not only can he use anybody to pray, but and anybody can prophesy, but not everybody's a prophet. Anybody can pray for healing, and God wants to use everybody for healing if we'll pray, but not everybody's going to have gifts of healing or be seen as a worker of miracles, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28. But there will be some, and God wants there to be some. There'll be some more anointed than others, just as there's some that's better worshipers than others as far as the gift that's on their life. There's some that's better teachers than others. There's some that's better children's work. There's some that's better working at meeting the needs, the social needs of people. God has put us all together in one body. But there's also some that he wants to just gift them to have more of a gift of healing, and we'll all notice it. But if we don't believe that's even possible, then that part is missing in our body. And I'm not talking really to you. I'm talking to the Church of America right now on that, because I know you do believe these things, and you have people here who are very gifted for healing, and you have people here very gifted in prayer, of which I have been a great beneficiary myself, and so grateful and so thankful. To know that for over 33 years, people who are members of this congregation have been lifting me up in prayer. And when some of the most difficult times in my life came, there was a call made to people in this church who told some of the other intercessors and who lifted me up. And for that, I am thankful. Because I know there's times I don't know how I could have got through life without his grace and his strength and his presence. I know him as my comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, healer. I thank God that I've sat with people where there's no hope. Doctors have told them very bad prognosis, and seen miracles take place. I thank God for that, and I thank God for how that became possible. So, another interpretation is that when we don't recognize the body, meaning we don't really understand, recognize what he did at the cross, his body, in his body. Again, we really have, American church has a much better understanding of his blood than what happened in his body. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. And I stand before you knowing, really, though God has used me, I've been the donkey. That's all. That he rode in on. But it is such a sweet realization to recognize that this human flesh and blood, with all of its imperfections, that God comes, partners with us. He does the healing. We get to watch. And it is so exciting. So emotional when he does, and when we get to see that. So I just want to declare, I believe there's going to be healings today. And I believe he's going to do what he did the other night. I believe that somebody, and some people, some things, some conditions, that's what I want to say, some conditions are going to be healed. As we watch the video in a short period of time, and it's only 1 minute and 24 seconds, so there was a 6 minute version, but I thought this would be appropriate. And I never did finish my thought, which as I get older, I'm getting worse at that, not finishing my sentences or my thoughts, and realizing minutes later you didn't finish what you started to say. So when I was studying on Roman crucifixion that 1 year for 40 hours, I just want to say to you that there's never been a movie with a scene of the scourging that was horrid enough. Even Mel Gibson's The Passion, with that scene from the scourging, it's not enough. It's not bad enough. It wasn't long enough. His body was not shredded enough. How important is healing to the Father? I believe when Jesus cried out, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't just the nails in his hands and feet and being hung on the cross, but he knew that before people were crucified, they were scourged. 39 lashes, because sometimes with 40, people would die. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say by his stripes we're healed. We say that. In the Hebrew, it uses a singular. And by his wound, stripe, we're healed. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. There should have been a lot of stripes. But it makes sense that when they started whipping him, they started at the base of his skull. And they stripped him naked. He didn't have a loincloth on like we see at the cross. They hung him to shame him in public, naked. And when they scourge him, there's not one piece of clothing on him. And it would go from the back of the neck to the bottom of the heels. And this scourge whip that they had pieces of metal and bone in it. So where that when it caught in the flesh and they pulled it back, it literally jerked pieces of flesh out of the muscles and sinew. Isaiah said he was beaten beyond recognition. We couldn't even recognize, not that we would desire him, in 700 years before it ever happened. And when we see the video a little bit later, I just want to say this is not gory enough. It's not. There was nothing left. It became one gaping wound. And by this wound, we are healed. How important should healing be to the church? I think we have to ask ourselves, in light of the recognition of the pain that he bore in his body and the scourging. It says that he who knew no sin became sin. There's also a passage that says he became sickness. He bore our sickness. And so now I want to just quickly, let's look at this very famous passage, Isaiah 53. And I know that there are issues, especially having been a pastor for 30 years, there's pastoral issues with this. I understand there's lots of good people who are full of faith that don't see their healing in this life. And I don't blame them. I'm not wanting anyone to feel guilty who's been contending for their healing. There's things I've been contending for in my own body for years. But I do believe that we need to have, as a corporate body, more faith, more expectation, because more happens where there's more expectation. And I think the last time I was here when I preached, I tried to make a connection based upon the reason between revelatory gifts God uses to build faith, which then releases the gifts of healing, the power gifts. And I teach that all over the world, but this morning I felt like we used to appeal to another side of humanity, not our reason this morning as I did last time, but our hearts, our emotions. Love is an emotion. Compassion is emotion. Jesus, moved with compassion, healed sick. He represented the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There are 1,000 questions I have I don't have answers to. But what I want to have assurance of is that I have no doubt healing is in the heart of God and demonstrates his love. And Jesus healed all who came to him. And healing is in what Jesus did. So that's where I want to read. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. 2 Peter 2:24 quotes that and says, and by his wounds, we were healed. Now, in my version, and in many English versions of this scripture, there are two Hebrew verbs translated, took up and carried, that are used later in Isaiah 53. And I want to show you where they're at. But in the English, the translators don't use the same words. And it is exactly the same two words in Hebrew. And I think one of the reasons why we haven't used the same two words is that some translators are just so uncomfortable with too tight a connection in these things about healing and forgiveness. In the Old Testament, it's like you get it all. Forgiveness, restoration, healing. And even more in the New Testament. It's in both places. It's not just forgiveness. It's forgiveness. And when the sins are forgiven, also there's to be healing that comes. I'm not saying any of us that's growing older need to feel guilty that we wear glasses or, you know, we're just getting older. It's kind of hard to grow old and have no symptoms of age. There's nothing wrong with we're living this side of Eden and we're not in the millennium. And in that time, there is the fall. You shall die. And so mortality. And I don't want anyone to feel, oh, I feel guilty because I shouldn't be wearing glasses, or if I'm 90 and got a hearing aid, or if I'm, you know, needing an artificial knee or a cane, we do wear out. But my grandmother, and she's 80 some odd years old, still experiencing healing, but she was also not walking in health. She walked in at 30s and 40s. There's a difference between disease and age. So, verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Where are these two verbs found? And in what way did Jesus do this? In the latter part of verse 11, in the last, not even the sentence, but the last phrase of the poetry there, says, and he will bear their iniquities. And in the last sentence of verse 12, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, in German and in Russian and in Portuguese, I've found out with others when I was teaching this that their translations, not all of them, but some of them, use exactly the same verbs in both places. So where it says he took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows, or actually a better word would be pains, and in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, where Jesus had healed all, it says this was fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities. And there in Matthew, quoting the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, said, and carried our diseases. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And that's the translation in Matthew of this Hebrew passage. In the same way that he took up our infirmities, carried our diseases, or a more literal Hebrew is pains, is exactly the same two verbs that he will bear their iniquities and bore the sin of many. In Jesus' crucifixion, he bears our iniquities. That part of us is not a transgression or a sin. It's just that fallen nature that, you know, he's paid the price for. He's born it in his body. He bore the sin of many, but it's exactly the same words that says he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows, our pains. It's in the same way. But we don't always understand that. Do you think God wastes suffering of his son? Do you think he asked him to do anything that didn't have merit? Do you think that he included, because it didn't have to be this way. I mean, he could have died by stoning. He could have died in other ways. He could have paid. But God chose this way. And scourging was part of it. And he wanted us to understand the significance of why that had to happen. All I'm saying is, when I ask myself this question, I know healing is important to me. How important is it to God? I think of this passage, and I think of this scene, which we'll show right now. Let me, as we get ready to show it, hold it a second. I want to say something. I believe God's going to honor a minute and 25 seconds of us watching what happened to Jesus. And remember, this is not bad enough. And as you're watching it, Just say in your own heart, he did that, that I could be healed. And may it cause a faith to rise up in you to receive healing. And I want to say what I said the other night, a week ago in Brazil. As soon as this video is over and we stop it, I want everyone to just get up and do something to check. And I know that many people cannot prove they've been healed because of their type of condition they have to have. They'd have to have a doctor to verify it. But a lot of times people who have that condition, and they do have to go have a doctor verify it, there's often they still feel the power of God come on them for healing. And then there'll be others here who will be able to know if they've been healed or not by something they can do. Now, we're going to testify to what God's in the process of doing. Doesn't have to be completed, but at least you're at least 80% better. And so check it out. A lot of the people get healed when they try. Matter of fact, when it came to hundreds of people who were healed of metal in their body, they were healed 100% of them when they tried to do what they could, not before. It was during as they were trying, as they were testing, as an act of faith. So let's watch it.
Welcome, clubs, eh?
No. Kank.
Monstro nobis quodi betur.
Prova estud.
Quale?
Nime soc parvo.
Dibi bene est. Gusta! Gusta!
Quid fac?
Escipe menta la magna.
Vedi!
Stand, check things out. How important is healing to God? That was not necessary unless it was connected to your healings and mine. I actually believe somebody will be healed before there's a prayer. And if you are at least 80% better, I want you to wave both hands over your head like this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Make them cross. 8, 9, 10, 11. Now put your... just keep moving whatever needs to be. And if it's an organ that needs to be healed, put your hand where you need the healing. Now we're going to pray 11 healings. There's going to be more. Father, I thank you that you included healing in what Jesus did. I thank you that we have hope when the doctors give us no hope. I thank you that you are the one, the final second opinion. I thank you that all things are possible. I thank you that I've seen you do things that literally were miraculous. God, I thank you that we've seen people get healed and they go to the doctor. The doctor had to have 3 x-rays on 2 different machines saying this is impossible to believe it. I thank you that
You're concerned not only about our souls, you're concerned about our bodies. I thank you that today we want to win for the Lamb that was slain the rewards of his suffering. We want to see people not only know forgiveness and freedom and liberation and deliverance, but we want people to experience the power of God to heal. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for your power to be released into eyes and ears and digestive systems and nerves and hearts and brains, kidneys, whatever the need is, Lord. We declare this morning without embarrassment that we believe it's true that you bore our infirmities, carried our diseases in your body, and you paid the price. And by the stripes, healing was released. Release your glory, release your power, demonstrate your infinite love. In Jesus' name, God, I want to come against arthritis just because last week I saw three people. It wasn't a word of knowledge. It was just they had, I don't know how to pronounce it, scoriatic or something, arthritis. I don't know how, that's not how I say it, but it wasn't rheumatoid and it wasn't osteo. Very painful. And they all, no words of knowledge, and they all three in a row got healed. And this morning we're praying for someone in your church that couldn't lift the arm up more than here, and it went like this. It's just encouragement. And I believe that, as someone said, Randy, I think God's going to start giving you this as he did metal. And so I'm going for it. I don't know if you have any forms of arthritis or bursitis. I just want to go off all the itis stuff. But just pay attention to your body, and then I want you to test things out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't understand how you heal people who have got all these screws and plates and bars, and it's impossible to move, and then you do it. I just celebrate it and declare it and thank you for it. And I don't understand how you heal arthritis, God. But I pray in the name of Jesus this morning that there would be a release for your glory of display of your power. And as, God, we're praying for everything, but especially, Lord, we're asking for people who have suffer from bursitis, arthritis, inflammation of the joints, degeneration, deterioration, Father. Oh, God, when you take somebody that's got 23 screws and on calipers and a big scar 4 inches above the knee, across the knee, and 6 inches below the knee, and he can't walk, and suddenly he throws those calipers away and he starts bending and walking and doing the impossible that the metal won't even let happen. I don't know how you do it. But God, I thank you. I saw you do it. And I ask today, in the name of Jesus, display the power of the cross. Display the power and how you value the scourging. Because we declare, Lord, that you're not a masochist, that there is purpose, and there is reason in those stripes. In Jesus' name. Now, check it out again. Whatever your problems is, are. Whatever your problem is. Sometimes you do not know you're healed. And just don't do one or two times. I want to make a distinction between those who know that they're better because their symptoms are better. They can do what they couldn't. And then I want to make a distinction for others that even though you have to go to a doctor to have things tested, you felt God's power in a very real way come on your body. And you believe you've been healed because of that manifestation of His presence, power, and love on your body. We'll make a distinction between two. So this first one, don't want to count the 11 that we counted a while ago, unless you got healed of a second thing, because I'm not actually counting the numbers of people who get healed. I'm counting the number of things that get healed. So if you're, I can tell, I'm 80% better, and I didn't wave my hands a while ago, but now I am. Would you wave your hands over your head and just keep waving? Let me give me it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 29 and 11 is 50. 50 things have been healed this morning. Now, those of you who, you can't prove it, but you believe you were healed, but you got to go to a doctor to prove it, but you felt His power come upon you, this is your chance. Wave your hands like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. About 30 more, somewhere in there. About 30 more. Believe they've been healed because they felt the power of God touched them. And 50 others who were. Now, just what I'd like to do is just for those of you who can do something you couldn't do, your pain levels went way down, your function way up, that you can demonstrate. You can say, I know it. I couldn't do this. And it's pretty significant. Could I get three of you to come up? Just three. And you know, everybody else can be seated and give a testimony for His glory. This actually takes humility. And Dave, would you like to interview them and
tell us what happened, Carolyn?
Well, when I came to church this morning, I raised my hand like
come
this.
Come this way. There we go.
I've had diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 31. And when I came to church, I could raise my hand like this. And to do my hair, I would do this. But now it's different.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I'm believing in healing for my husband who broke both of his feet. Almost 4 months ago, he's not walking, but I believe healing for him right now as we...
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
What happened, Becky?
Oh, I think I had a rotator cuff because I could do this, but not without pain. And you know I like to do this.
Yes.
And so I would do this very often. And today I'm doing this.
Yeah, come on.
And it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Hallelujah. What up, brother?
I'm here and I'm looking at all the bright lights and he can attest, and so can many others here. Yeah. It sent me to seizures. I've been struggling. I was telling my daughter last night, I don't know how in the world this is ever going to improve. And here I am this Sunday after 4 weeks of being sick. And I can sit here and stare at the bright lights, and I'm not. I can see you.
Awesome.
I couldn't see to Becky before.
Yeah.
It felt like I had screens over my eyes. Today, I don't feel that way. And I'm staring at the light bulbs on purpose because I'm going,
Thank you, Lord. That's the only
way to prove it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. For your message. Preached that way before about Jesus' body and his wounds. It made me understand it a whole lot better.
Amen.
So I thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Give us an update, Janie.
Yeah. I was in a wreck about a year and 8 months ago, and they put my back together. Today, as I was walking in, I felt warmness in the back of my back. They say I carried about 12 ounces of screws and nuts in my back. And I was brought back to life many times through my accident, twice and that same day, this June the 2nd. And then 3 days later, I was gone to heaven, and Jesus told me to come back and give my testimony. And brother knows what I've been through. And I know through him and through my faith and everyone standing with me in prayer, God is going to remove all this that I have in my back one day.
Amen. 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 Yes,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to get all the benefits of what Jesus did at the cross. No matter how many times we get healed, if we don't have eternal life, we're not born again, we're still going to die. And after that's the judgment. But he said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Experience of the new birth. It's real. There's assurance. And the assurance is the evidence of his spirit in your life. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and then I'm going to give an invitation, first of all, for those who say, I've never really been born again, or I was, but I've walked away from God, I've become cold and indifferent, and I've really lost my walk of obedience. I'm having a walk of defeat, and I'm just want to start at zero. I mean, start at 10 and count to zero. And during that time, if you need Jesus as your Savior or to come back home, you're like a prodigal son or daughter, I'm going to ask you to come and just stand out here and we'll have prayer with you in a moment. Once we do that, then we want to open up the ministry time to other physical needs, and if there's time, see what words of knowledge would come. I do want to go ahead and give this one because it hurt me a while ago. A while ago, I felt pain right where my thumb's at. It's a thoracic area of your body. Most back pain is either in the cervical or the lumbars, not as much in that area, but it's in that one spot. And I believe somebody's got a problem there. And I would like to pray with you after the invitation. And one other person I want to pray for. You have a problem in this part of your thigh, in the left inside part of your thigh. I don't know if it's a nerve or a blood vessel that's been affected there, or actually a muscle. I'm not sure, but it's right through there. And then on the inside left ankle bone, another thing, and those we'll pray for after the invitation. So Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for the very men who nailed him to the cross. How much more should we be able to believe he loves us? When Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. It wasn't meaning a literal 490 times, but I doubt if anybody here has used up all 490 times. If he said we're to do that, how much more is he capable and willing to forgive? If we could just feel his oceans of love moving toward us right now, we'd all, there'd be not one person who could stand back just to feel how much he loves us. How much they love us? That was the beginning. But he wants to do more than heal. He wants to give us eternal life. I pray that the blinders would come off, because Paul said if we hear the gospel and don't respond to it, it's because the God of this world has blinded us. And the gospel is really simple. He died that you could live. He paid the price. He bore not just your trespasses, but he bore your iniquities, that predisposition toward wanting sin. He bore it. He bore our sins. The writer of Hebrews says he wants us to get this so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. It's not just about a fire escape. It's not just about after this life. This gospel has real benefits now. You may not have had to walk through tragedy yet. You may not have had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death yet. You may not have been so undone and so nervous you feel like your body's falling apart. You may not have needed the touch of the great counselor. You may not have yet needed the touch of the healer. You may not yet have needed the comfort of the great comforter. I just don't know how we face life without him in our lives. There's so many benefits long before we die of knowing Jesus. And he wants to be all those things to us. If you're never been born again, I tell you, he's ready to forgive. I pray he'd draw you, give you faith. What Wesley called prevenient faith, the faith that comes to you before you even believe. And he gives you the faith with which to believe and makes you aware that you need him. Makes you aware that what you couldn't forgive in your own life, he can forgive. Come to Jesus for salvation or rededication right now. Before I get to zero, if there's anyone in this house that needs this, come now. 10. Come to Jesus. 9. Eight, seven, come and join me. 6, thank you, Lord Jesus. 5, I pray that God would give you strong faith to believe he stands ready to forgive. 4, don't be concerned what anybody thinks, just what he thinks. Greatest moment in your life is when you're born again. Second greatest moment is when God makes you aware that you need to be born again and draws you. The third, one of the third greatest moments is when, if you've ever been a prodigal, you feel him drawing you again. 2. Greatest lie of the devil is you're so good you don't need forgiveness, don't need a savior. Second greatest lie is you're so bad he won't save you. And the third is this is not the right time. Put it off. It's the right time when he's knocking. It's not something you just choose to do one day, because your flesh won't let you choose unless he's drawing. 1. Anyone else? Zero. I'd ask everyone that came up, could you all kind of come around here together in one group? Like I want to pray with you. And then after this prayer, we'll open it up for healing for a few minutes. Just repeat after me, would you? And I'm going to get to a point in the prayer, I'll say, hear my confession. I can't pray that prayer for you. I don't know what to confess for you. And when I lead someone to the Lord one-on-one, when I'd hold their hands, I'd say, listen, don't pray out loud, but form the words of your lips, and I can't read lips. The things you really have regret about, things you wish you could go back and undo, things you just, those bigger sins with more emotional weight to them. I tell you, it will do your soul good to lay them at his feet through mentioning them by name. Not out loud, not even with the whisper, so loud anybody could hear you, but with your lips, form the words. And when you're done, I'd say, then squeeze my hand, I'll finish the prayer. This is where I saw the biggest breakthroughs. While they're repeating what I was saying, sometimes they were crying already, sometimes they weren't. But often when we got to this part where I no longer was saying anything, and when we'll give you a little time, David will lead us in, we'll sing, give you a little while to mention to the Lord the things you really want to unload. And then at the end, now Lord, all of my sins, I confess them all. Forgive me. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I believe not only does he burden us, but I believe he also lifts the burden and gives us joy and peace and love when we're forgiven. So let's pray. Father, thank you for touching my heart. Say that out loud. You can all join us. For drawing me, showing me my need of forgiveness. I love you, but I know you first loved me. Thank you that your love is faithful. You won't let go of us. You're like the hound of heaven that's on our trail. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for giving me faith this morning that you'll forgive me. Take away my sin. As your word says, as far as the east is from the west, throw it into the deepest part of the sea, never to be brought up against me again. God, I'm sorry for my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions. I'm not asking you to forgive me because of anything I have done or could do. I'm asking you to forgive me because of what Jesus did. I believe that what he did is enough to pay for my sin. Thank you for drawing, convicting. Now, Lord, hear my confession. This is your time.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of
Thank
God.
You, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if there's more you need to feel like to unload, this works afterwards. It just, this is the way we start, this is the way we continue to the end. Just keep our counts short. Now, if you could just look up here, I want you to repeat again, if you mean it from your heart. I'll try to give complete sentences. Pray that out loud. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me, taking all my sins away. I may remember them, but you won't now. I believe that I'm forgiven. I believe that I've been born again. I believe I've been rededicated. Thank you for forgiveness. Now give me your strength. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Father, your Son, Jesus, my Savior, said that if we who are evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So, Father, I'm asking, not just for forgiveness, be born of the Spirit, but I'm asking that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, now hold your hands out like this. And could I get somebody just to come, just kind of spread out a little bit now? And one thing I want you to do before I pray for you, would you turn to somebody up here in this list, in this line, and just tell them, I've been forgiven. I'm a child of God. Just look in her eyes and say, I am forgiven. God has accepted me. All right. Just spread out here a little bit. There's two in the back line. Come over here. Would you all extend your hand toward these ones who've come forward this morning and are right there? God, I pray that you would just fill them. You would overwhelm them with your Holy Spirit. And you would activate gifts in them. You'd not only forgive them, but you'd just release gifts. None of us deserve these. And the most of all, Father, you would give them the unspeakable gift of salvation and being filled with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, I bless them. Fill them up. Lord, the church blesses them. Fill them. In the name of Jesus, cause your presence, your peace, your love to flow through them. In Jesus' name, fill them with your love. Fill them with your grace. Fill them, Father. In the name of Jesus, the power of God and the grace of God to be on them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this young man. Thank you for this young woman. Thank you, Lord. Fill her up, Father. Fill her up, Lord. Fill him up, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bless him. Fill him with your presence. In Jesus' name. God, let them know they're not only forgiven, that they're entrusted. You're going to put your ring on their hand.
your signet ring that gives them the right to use your name, your authority, your power. In Jesus' name, I bless them. I bless them, God. Thank you for every tear. Thank you for this love that you're pouring out on them, Father. Fill them. Fill them, Lord. Fill him, Father. I just sense he wants to say to you something about being his son. Sure. He wants you to know. He wants you to know how much he loves you. I bless you. More, God. Fill them, fill them, fill them. Waves of love, waves of power. Waves of love, waves of power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Baptisms of love and baptisms of power. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you'd overwhelm them. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray as you're touching these, you'd give a fresh touch with your Holy Spirit. Those in the congregation as well. More, I bless the power in your body in the name of Jesus. More, God. More, Lord. More, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. More, God. Thank you, thank you. Just continue blessing and praying for these that have come forward. I'm going to ask that the ministry team of the church would come off to the other sides where there's room over here and over here. I want to pray that God would... I know I've been here many times. I know you guys are already moving all the gifts, but I want to pray for an increase in word of knowledge. And I just briefly want to tell you two stories from last week. I was preaching in this church Fortaleza, Brazil, and one word came so strong that this is rare. I mean, this really is rare. It's not a normal experience. It hurt. It came so strong, it hurt. Of course, it was a feeling word of knowledge, and it came so strong that I actually was preaching like this and suddenly went, ow, that loud. I embarrassed myself. It hurt, and it continued to hurt, like throbbing, for like a minute. And I, of course, I gave that, and instantly there was a man. Actually, first of all, it felt like somebody took a little ball pin hammer and just whacked me right on the wrist right there. And then it just ached. It was hurting so bad. And instantly there was a man who had been in a motorcycle wreck, and he came forward. No one prayed for him. It was instant, just as soon as... And he had a huge scar about the width of my finger. And over here, he had a pin. And when he'd start to do his wrist like this, that pin would come loose and stick up like a half an inch under the skin. You could see it. And it hurt really, really bad. All the pain was gone. I mean, he couldn't do his wrist. It was frozen. And it had bars and plates and screws, and it was gone. And the pastor said, the amazing thing, Randy, he can do that, and that screw that was stick up, it's not there. It's not sticking up. That same night, within 5 minutes, on the outside left, about 4 inches above my ankle bone, on the bone, I felt a place about the size of a dime that got really hot. And I had an impression there's somebody that's had surgery and metal put in their body. And so I gave that word, and a man and a woman over here both said it was them. They came forward, and they actually were trying to do something they couldn't as an act of faith. I'd asked them to do that, and they were. But the healing wasn't coming. But that word was so real. It wasn't as strong as this one, but so real. I just knew God was going to heal at least somebody. One of them with this. I went down and put my hands on both. A man and a woman put my hands on both. I don't know how to explain it. But the man's ankle was just way distorted. And it turned out, and God, he began to feel the power of God hitting him. And what happened was he had a rare disease where his bone had infection in it, and it had 9 surgeries. And part of the bone had to be removed. And he had metal. And he said, I have at least 9 screws in my body. And he had scars this long. He had scars this long. And you can see where they put the pin in, had a hole here in this area. And as we began to pray, suddenly his ankle began to shake. And it got hot. And he was living with a constant pain, high, like 8 or 9, 10's excruciating. It just left. Now, because of all this metal, he could not move his foot left or right. He could not move his foot up or down. I mean, it was stuck. He got full range of motion. But the faith, one was caused through the words of knowledge. And I just want to, God, I pray that you release more of this word through this church. You said that's one of the gifts on my life is to call forth gifts in others. And I pray, God, for a stronger, more frequent, more precise words of knowledge in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. I believe you've done it. Now, before you leave, there's 3 things I think I called out. I'll pray for a few things before I have to go. But is there anybody here that has in the back of your calf, your right calf, right in there, a really sore spot in the back or a problem in the back of your right calf? Because it's not like a Charlie horse, but I feel that one spot is just really, really sore. I'm just curious if someone has that this morning. Would you wave your hand if you do? Because I believe God wants to heal it. I believe you can be healed. Here's what I think. We see this a lot anymore. Without having to be prayed for, I believe if you'll do something, you'll be healed as an act of faith. And what I want to ask you to do is, it's like pull your leg up, and then after on the third, and just kind of hold it there for like 10 seconds, or no, 3 seconds, just in case you don't have good balance. Because I think your pain will leave. Now, that's on me. That's not on you. That's my declaration, my statement, what I think God's going to do. If it doesn't, I'll pray for you. Does anybody else have that problem in that? I think just do that 3 times. Hold it up. Thank you, God. Is it same or is it better? Is it same? Okay, then come up and I'll pray for you. All right, Pastor, I want to turn it back over to you. And the ministry teams are here. If you need prayer for anything this morning, it's in the cross, forgiveness and healing, and they're there waiting for you. Come to them. If you had one of the things that I called out, I'd like to pray for you for that. Or if you have scoliotic arthritis or psoriatic,
in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen.